G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, come with me to the book of Galatians, which is in the New Testament. It's a letter written by Paul. We call him an apostle, a church planter, a church leader, and he would have lots of churches to support. But the Galatian region, which is modern-day Turkey, was his sort of first area. And this book of Galatians is written back around about 48-50 AD. It puts it as one of the earlier books of Paul to the churches. And the context is really interesting because we're talking about freedom this month. It's our last month on freedom. We've been exploring freedom in connect groups. We've been reading Pastor Phil's book on freedom together. And this is a bit of a wrap-up on freedom. And what better book is there than Galatians in terms of a book that really articulates the freedom that we have in Christ? But the context of the churches was that they started out so well. They grabbed hold of the freedom they had in Christ, and then, as always, there's a battle on. And some people came in, infiltrated into the church that really didn't have a good understanding of freedom. In fact, they were jealous of their freedom. And they started making lots and lots of laws and things that they should follow to make them kind of more religious. And Paul's going, hang on, no, like what you've got from the beginning is so precious. Don't go there. And that's what the book is about. It's about hanging on to your God-given freedom so that you don't get too religious. Sounds odd, doesn't it? You know, but that's the deal. So come with me. We're going to launch into Galatians 5, having given you like a two-minute background in Galatians. There's only six chapters. So Galatians 5 really launches into the tail of the argument of what Paul is saying. And he says this. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He says, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's the passage we're looking at right there. We're going to spend all day on it. It's for freedom, number one. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom. It's a cry of the human heart, isn't it? Like, don't we just love that word freedom? It's on. It's one of our core visions here. Free. It's to be free. But even outside of the church, in all kinds of contexts, there's a cry for freedom. And it's such a key word for us. In some ways, though, the word gets misconstrued. And it moves into areas that are not always helpful in life. And even though it sounds good, there's so many limitations to a freedom that isn't quite free. That's why Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. So stay free. So there are some imitations to true freedom. For example, political movements. Political movements. Countries that are stuck in dictatorship or in a government that doesn't allow freedom. You see Hong Kong right now, all kinds of issues going on. I've just visited Myanmar, which is emerging out of a whole realm of political oppression, where, you know, you can't have free press and free opinions and political prisoners. And so there's rightfully so a movement of freedom. And freedom fighters, sometimes they take up arms, sometimes it's just through words, sometimes it's through all kinds of strategies. But there's that kind of freedom movement that we see around the world. There's music. There's freedom in music and song, in worship. There's freedom in other bands, other places. And you see through the 50s, 60s, 70s, the great kind of rock and roll freedom movement, the revolution, isn't it? And you see thousands, millions of people, particularly young people, flocking to different movements and music. Money is another way of freedom, isn't it, that we look to. That sense that if I just had $1 million, I'd be free. If I just had enough money to buy a house and pay off the mortgage and then never have to work again, and then that would be freedom, wouldn't it? Not agreeing with me. But, you know, that's a common thought, isn't it? I just need more. So I'll get a better job, a better raise. Sometimes. What about relationships? If I just have that person in my life, or if I just not have that person in my life, we pin our freedom on relationships. We have that sense of, you know, as people impinge on my freedom or they give me freedom. So there's all kinds of ways these are good things, okay? We need money, we need relationships, and we need freedom in other countries and music and all that. But sometimes these things can become an end in themselves, and they miss out on what true freedom really is. And that's why Jesus says, if Paul says, is for freedom that Christ set us free. So what is biblical freedom? What does the Bible talk about freedom? In the New Living Translation, it says this. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Christ has set us free. It's Christ. He has done a great freedom work. There was something about Jesus. There was something about his free spirit that as he walked the roads and the streets of Palestine 2,000 years ago, there was a cry of freedom around him. So much so that thousands and thousands of people would flock after him. I mean, that would have been super tiring. I mean, wherever Jesus went, there was this whole tribe of people, they called the multitudes. The multitudes are coming. All these people crowding. Whenever he went into a village, crowds of people. So much so, sometimes he had to preach. He'd get out on a boat on the lake so the crowds wouldn't kind of crush him. He'd kind of go inside a house, and then all these people would surround the house. Sometimes they'd have to kind of cut through the roof to get to him. He was surrounded by people because he represented something so fresh and so free that the people go, oh, this is what I've been looking for. And it was real. It was genuine. It was tangible. Galatians 1, Paul talks about how this Jesus helped him. Now, we don't really know if Paul ever met Jesus in person. It never says it in Scripture. But certainly something happened to Paul. You know, it's possible that they met. You know, the age kind of lines up. We're talking about AD 50. Jesus died about AD 30. It's kind of 20 years since Jesus died. It's feasible that Paul may have seen Jesus in some kind of place. We don't know. But what we do know is that Paul had an encounter with Jesus in the Spirit that absolutely changed his life. And you read about that in Acts 9 and various places. But this encounter with Jesus absolutely changed his life and gave him a freedom like he'd never had before. So he describes this a little bit in Galatians 1. He says, when he called me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me. That's what happened to him in this moment where he had a light flash, fell off his horse for 3 days, he was blind. Jesus revealed himself to Paul and changed him in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He was now, the three things happened. He was set apart. So his life that was before was now going to be different. He had a new destination, a new journey, a new life call. Secondly, he knew Jesus on the inside. He had something on the middle of him that was different. It was no longer about himself, but Jesus. And then he says, now I've got this incredible call. He was set apart from a mediocre life, set apart from just going through the rituals. What was he free from? In Galatians 4:8, he says, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those things by nature that are not God's. Anything that is not God can trap us. It's odd, isn't it? The things that even are good things can become trap, like money. It can be the love of money that traps us. Or like friends can trap us. So these things that are not God, it says, can enslave us. There's only one thing that will free us. I've thought about this a lot. I reckon there's four things that trap people typically. Called them the four P's of enslavement. The four P's that grab us and trap us if we let them. These are things that are not God. Sometimes they're good things, but they trap us in. The first one is pride. Now there's good pride and bad pride. You know, there's that pride of achievement and pride of doing things well, and that's all good. But you keep going with that, and there's a pride of, it's like, I don't actually need God anymore, because either I'm so good that I don't need God, or I'm so good that I'll invent a way that I don't need God. So I'll invent not God. I'll make up a new system, or I'll declare that God is dead or something like that. See, pride could be religious pride, that I'm so well accomplished in my faith. That was Paul the Apostle, and he says it elsewhere in the Scriptures. He said, I was so good, I was zealous, I was all this stuff. But it actually trapped him, because it becomes all about performance. Pride ultimately leads to performance, and performance is not freedom. Number two, P is possessions. Story of the rich young ruler in the Bible who just couldn't give away his key thing, which was money. And Jesus says it's not the having, it's the possessing. I know people who have lots of things, but they don't possess things. It's who owns who. Your possessions own you, or do you own the possessions? And are you free with them to give them away or to share them and bless other people? I've seen possessions and the pursuit of possessions trap people into a life of mediocrity or actually slaving away over something that is less free than what they ever thought they could have. The third P is pursuits. These are the things that become your master, the things that you set out to achieve that are not always based on really good things. And sometimes we pursue things, but actually the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given to you. So you find that the pursuit of career or the pursuit of money or the pursuit of people, while they're good things, primarily we set God ahead of those things, and God will provide that miraculously. And the last one is patterns. They're unhealthy habits and addictions and lifestyles and the things that we give ourselves to that actually trap us. So you find people who are addicted to things or we can't say no to things, actually traps people into a cycle of addiction. So we see enslavement around us, as did Paul. That's why he's writing this. And actually he's writing specifically to the trap of religion, to this context. He says, why are you trying to achieve again by performing before God religiously? And so in this verse that we're looking at, it says, for freedom, the Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't be burdened, don't be put under by all these things. He says, stand firm. It's like man up. Be strong, be courageous. Take up the fight of standing somewhere. Standing firm is about character. It's about who you are really on the inside. It's about the resilience and the boundaries that you draw around yourself. Some great quotes from this book we've been reading by Pastor Phil. One is, freedom is the capacity to say no. It's the ability to do whatever I will to do, meaning that I will not be under the power of anything or anyone else. The ability to say yes or no brings great freedom. You actually have the ability to say yes and to do it, or to say no and not do it. That's freedom. He says, stand firm. Stand firm in your boundaries. Boundaries, they're like train tracks. They're like predetermined things that you will or won't do. They're like blinkers on a horse. They go, no, I will not look at that. I will not go to that website. I will not go to this television show. I will not go to this thing that's going to pull me apart. Sometimes it's people. I'm not going to be involved with that person because he or she's going to take me this way. They're predetermined things. And if you have those running on the inside of you, that is actually freedom. It's a paradox, isn't it? Because we think that freedom is a car. It's the ability to go wherever I want, whatever I want to do. But actually, it's not. It's a predetermined thing. I'm going to go here and then there and then there. Or for the glory of God. Boundaries are important, but here's what I find. Boundaries without God just leads to pride. And the other thing I've found is that boundaries don't always work. Has anyone discovered that? You might have the greatest intentions about doing something or not doing something, but there's something a little dodgy inside of us. It's called our heart. Jeremiah 79 says, the heartful is deceitful above all else. It's like don't trust it. It's odd, isn't it? Lucky we get a new heart. But there's a wrestle inside of us, and it'll be there till the day we're with heaven in Jesus, with Jesus in heaven. It'll be in Christ too. And the wrestle is this, is that somehow we do the things that we don't want to do, and we don't do the things that we do want to do. Anyone else experience that? Like, I really want to do this, but, oh. And you end up going this way. So there's this wrestle that goes on inside. Paul describes it brilliantly in Romans 7, if you want to have a bit of a chuckle. But I've found a secret to this. Obviously, we need help. We need an internal source to deliver us from this. We need something on the inside of us to help us. And I've found this thing. Doesn't mean I'm always perfect. But I've found something that helps me in a time of need. And it's in Titus 2. Same author, Paul, writes to his friend Titus in chapter 2, verse 11. And he reveals the secret. This is the secret you need. If you want to live a life of boundaries and true freedom, you're going to need this secret. It says here that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Everybody can have this grace. What does it do? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I would think that everybody in this room wants to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. The battle is not against here. It's about what goes wrong late at night sometimes when we're tired. It's about the anxieties that weigh us down and pull us in different directions. It's about the pressure that makes us kind of do things and try and relieve the tension inside of us so we find other sources. But actually, what we need is the grace of God. The grace of God that has forgiven us primarily and then fuels us. You see, it's not just about our forgiveness. It's about fuel. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us brings fuel. It fuels the fire of righteousness inside. And all of us inside, we can burn with this passion to do things well. That's why Paul says, stand firm. There's going to be a battle. Like in a battle, you know, when the battle's on, it's like, stand your ground. Don't retreat. Don't pull back on this thing. Stand firm. Don't disappear or go under this thing. You need the grace of God. You need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you because it's going to work. Don't go under a yoke of slavery. And the image there is of a horse or an oxen that's kind of got things on it, bits. You know, that's going to channel it in a direction. He says, don't go under that again. You're free. Don't go back to your old ways. Don't be trapped again. And then he goes on to this incredible passage. And it describes what it's like to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read this chunk out because it's so telling. In 5 verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that you need. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets itself against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are in opposition to each other. What our bodies want and what our spirit want. It's like there's a war inside of us. So who's going to win? He says, but, 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law can't condemn you. The law can't shape you. It's the Holy Spirit that gives freedom inside. And then he goes on to describe what it's like if we don't have the Holy Spirit inside of us. It says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, verse 19. The immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, these things. I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't have to scratch the surface of society too much to find that. It's there, however much we want to kind of dress up our world. There's a desperation under us if we're not led by the Spirit of God. But the but here is the exciting but. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, humility, self-control. It says those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit and produce fruit by the Spirit. So much in here. See, fruit is an outworking. We have a blueberry bush at home. It's like that high. It's Rose's prized possession. Well, apart from me, of course. It's something that should produce fruit, and it actually has started to produce little blueberries, because blueberries are little. But our new dog, Morris, has also discovered blueberries. He's got a taste for blueberries. So we have moved the blueberry bush to somewhere where Morris can't get to it. But see, here's the deal with the blueberry bush. It used to be next to the lemon bush. And guess what? The lemon bush produces lemons. And the blueberry bush produces blueberries. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation. You don't want to get them mixed up, especially when they're little. You don't have to try. If you're a blueberry bush, who would be the blueberry bush in the room? Oh, it's going worse, isn't it? Now, you don't have to try too hard if you're a blueberry bush to produce blueberries. You don't have to go, blueberry! Oh, there it comes. It just comes naturally, doesn't it? If you're a blueberry bush. But see, the fruit isn't outworking. It just happens all by itself. That's all you got to do. If you're walking by the Spirit, the fruit will come. It'll just flow out. You will find yourself with more love, with more peace, with more patience, with more kindness. It'll just happen. You don't have to try too hard to squeeze out a fruit. The deal is to get absorbed and filled by the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit will just flow out of you naturally. And you can identify it, which was the point of my earlier analogy. You can identify it as being a good fruit. This is such a key message for us as we wrap up our freedom. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live lives of freedom. It's the Holy Spirit who brings that. We're in a war zone. We're in a confusing time. There's all kinds of stuff and all kinds of messages floating around, and it's easy to get trapped or sidetracked. I'm telling you, walk by the Spirit. Have the Spirit inside of you, and that will fuel your world. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.